I have literally had, I hope I don't get in trouble for this, I have literally had a woman come through and she was difficult. She would not, I mean, she wasn't a bad person. She was just really cautious. It was like pulling teeth, trying to get her to come through. I could see her. I knew she was here. The little tidbits that she was giving me at first, the sitter was like, yes, yes, yes. Oh my gosh, that's my mom, you know. And then finally, when it kind of opened up, she said, please tell my daughter, I'm so sorry. I was very wrong. And about the way things are here. And I said, she just wants, you know, me to tell you that. And she just looked at me. She goes, do you realize my mother was a Jehovah's Witness?
Greetings, Starseeds, and welcome to A Cosmic Journey,
the comedy podcast about science and spirituality, where we discuss everything in the universe, from the physical
to the metaphysical. I'm Demi Wilde.
And I am Jay Maceo. Now, this week, we've got cosmic news stories like how a USPS worker at Chicago O'Hare Airport may have seen the Mothman.
Woo! Yep. Or how bad news for iPhone users, but your iPhone may be taking secret pictures of you.
Mm-hmm. Apple be doing that. Mm-hmm. On our YouTube channel Monday, you can catch cosmic news in video format, so be sure to subscribe.
Also, later on in the show, we take a deep dive into a black hole.
Splash!
To interview our new friend, psychic medium, astrologer, and life coach, Susie Kerr Wright.
Yay!
Yes. How has this week been for you?
It's been wonderful. You don't know me.
We don't have to go into details, obviously, but we had a little rough weekend, and that's okay.
Yeah, but we had fun and we went to the Aquarium of the Pacific.
Did go to the aquarium. That was a wonderful time. I saw penguins.
I was about to say the penguins. You saw, I touched a stingray.
Yeah.
A stingray.
Did you notice like how it felt a little bit like, have you ever like felt like a naked mole rat or like a naked cat?
No,
I don't want to. It was kind of like that, but wet.
The stingray?
Yeah.
I think it
like
felt
bony
like,
and like kind of.
It was like a weird thing. Like, should I eat this or should I not? We also touched jellyfish.
We did. We touched moon jellies.
Yeah.
Moon jellies. That was kind of interesting. I never really like. It's always weird, like when you go to a zoo or something, they have like a petting area, because I always feel kind of like weird doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But the jellyfish, I think, was a little bit different. There were so many of them in that little like tiny trough or whatever. There was like hundreds of them.
I think that people had probably taken jellyfish home. They were small enough that in the petting zoo or the petting park where you could like take a jellyfish and like put it in your pocket.
Put it in your bra.
Yeah.
You just put it in your bra, you know, take it home, like squeeze it and put on your sandwich later on.
Yeah. Snack it up, rub it down. Oh no. And also it's got my little pride because it is Pride weekend here.
Happy Pride, you guys.
Happy Pride. We're proud.
We are proud. Proud gays.
Yes, LGBTQ A.
Speaking of gay, I came back from Palm Springs this weekend with my mom.
Nice.
She flew in back in from Riverside to Riverside from Minnesota, where she was staying because she is done with her assignment. So now she's kind of looking for a place to live.
Nice.
So she's staying in Riverside right now. I think she's looking at a place in Mira Loma at the moment, but I'm trying to get her to move out to Palm Springs because I would be out there all the time.
Nice.
Yeah.
Mira Loma. That means look at Loma.
Look at Loma?
I don't know what a Loma is.
I don't know what Loma is either.
Hey, Google, what does Mira Loma mean in English?
In Japanese, that's Mira Loma.
Okay, so
never mind.
Google was no help there. It's in Japanese.
Yeah, yeah. But otherwise, like, it was just lovely, like, hanging out in Palm Springs with my mom. We got some sun and just chilled by the pool.
Nice.
Yeah.
Got your tan on.
Yeah. Watching any movies or TV shows lately?
Yes. Now, we talk about manifestation here a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I have been watching this show called Manifest.
Right.
And I am obsessed. Like, I really dig the show from the beginning. It caught me because sometimes, you know, I'll just be like, oh, I'll watch this or whatever. So I saw the preview for it and I was like, let's watch this now. And I haven't. I started it Saturday night and I'm halfway through the second season now.
Damn.
Yeah. And there's 16 episodes per season.
Ooh,
yeah. Okay. So it is about these people. I won't spoil too much of it, but
it's about a plane crash, right?
Well, no,
here out of nowhere.
Okay. So people are on a flight. And then they, you know, appear and they're like, why can't we, you know, why do we have to stop on this tarmac? This is crazy. And they're like, and everybody's surprised, like, why can't we go? You know, we want to, you know, get out of here. And they're like, there's a government official that's like, you took off here April 8th of 2013. They're like, yeah, that's the date. They're like, it is now November 18th of 2018.
Whoa.
So it's 5.5 years later. They took a flight and it's 5.5 years later when they land. And so they
disappeared like in mid-flight.
And for them,
appeared 10 years later.
It's five and a half years. Yeah.
So 2008 to
2013. 2013.
Okay.
To 2018. So they didn't age. Nobody aged either.
Whoa.
So there's like a little kid that's like, he had a twin sister and now the twin sister is like 5 years older than him.
Weird.
Yeah. So
I almost watched this last night and, I was actually looking for like a true crime documentary and I kind of saw that and I accidentally started it because I thought it was interesting, but I'm like, no, I want to watch this documentary instead.
Yeah.
But I ended up not watching that. I ended up watching, The Conjuring.
Oh, okay.
ADD, you know. Yeah. I couldn't decide what to watch, so I was like, I'm gonna watch this except HBO. But I finished Lovecraft Country.
Oh, you're talking about that, yeah.
I finished it like maybe a week ago. Oh my god, I can't wait for season two. It looks so good.
Yeah,
it looks so good.
And who is the racist? Was the man who wrote it racist?
So, or they're based on books by H.P. Lovecraft. H.P. Lovecraft was a horror writer back in like the 20s or something, or maybe early 1900s, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But his books were all monsters and stuff, but he has he had racist tropes and stuff in his books.
Oh, so he wasn't a racist.
So he was a racist. The writer of those horror novels, H.P. Lovecraft, was racist.
Like all the monsters are black.
Notoriously, where they only kill black people. But this is kind of like, so this one's based on another novel based of someone else,
mm-hmm,
who actually kind of like took these horror concepts in H.P. Lovecraft novels, placed them with all black characters, and made the bad guys white. So it was kind of like, it kind of like put a twist on the narrative.
Why can't I just mix up the people, like, you know, whatever.
I mean, it was just kind of like a play on the trope, essentially, of the novel, of the original novels and stuff. So, but I'm dying to figure out what the second season is all about, because the first one is basically like that first book all like to a T, pretty much.
Okay.
And then, but yeah, like, where are they going to go from there? I don't know.
JP Aircraft.
Yeah, that's pretty much been my week. We just took an ADD test earlier, so there's that. I'm seeing my therapist and stuff. So I got on medication finally for my ADD, so there's that part. Yeah, I think that's pretty much it.
Oh.
Yeah. Shall we get into some astrology?
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah.
I don't know what that noise was.
Yeah.
So,
good astrological opinion.
I did a little bit of a different thing this time, too. Again, I kind of did a more broad stroke like I did the last time.
You'd be stroking.
And I'm doing this through like the end of the month, basically. So, what's today? 15th?
Yeah.
So,
tomorrow's Tupac's birthday.
Oh, Tupac.
Yeah, smile for me now.
If anybody knows me, they know I have a huge crush on Tupac.
Like, he does.
He's my favorite. But anyway, so 6:14, Saturn square Uranus 2 out of 3. So Saturn is going to square Uranus 3 times this entire year. And because it's in the retrograde right now, it's actually squaring it again. So June 14th is the second of 2021's 3 Saturn Uranus squares. Restrictive Saturn in progressive Aquarius clashes with radical Uranus in cautious Taurus, which could mean conservative revolution or radicalized traditionalism. We're already kind of seeing this in politics right now. We have a lot of like upheaval with, you know, I think QAnon is kind of like dying down for the most part, but there's still a lot of people that still believe in that stuff around. And, and it kind of has radicalized these conservative people as to where they're going in politics and stuff now. So we're seeing a lot of this, especially like pushback with all these conservative bills being passed against trans children and stuff. So we're kind of seeing this kind of like radical approach to traditionalism, and it's kind of putting a damper on these like these progressive ideas and stuff. And you know, we gotta keep up a good fight first of all, but this is like an astrological reason why this is actually happening.
Okay.
So I find that really interesting. So but we have more on that in Cosmic News later. But on 6/21, Sun enters Cancer. It is crabbing season, but best not to get too crabby. Just kidding. As we enter summer and the world is opening up, it's natural that we all want to go out and come together in tandem. But with that newly budding zest for life comes an overwhelming sensation to do over just a little bit, to overdo it just a little bit. So be sure we're taking time to heal ourselves, whether we know it or not. We've all kind of experienced trauma during this time.
Yeah.
I actually had this like really interesting thing happen to me just the other day when I went out to West Hollywood for the first time at night. And I went out expecting to just kind of like hang out. And there were just so many people around. And I was like, I just had like social anxiety and I just kind of like didn't want to be there. So I ended up just leaving and going to ramen afterwards. So this is kind of like a new realm that we're going, that we're kind of all going into, and it's okay to kind of like have that in the beginning. Of course, like we're all kind of healing from that.
Yeah.
So it's easy to shrug these things off, but get in touch with your emotions during this time and ease your way back into the world again. The Hermits are coming.
Yes, that was a card I pulled today. Was the Hermit
right? So you texted me earlier today, and when I left here on Saturday, I think I knocked over a card or something, and one of them popped out, so I just left it propped up.
The Wheel of Fortune.
Wheel of Fortune. And then you pulled a card today that was the Hermit card.
Yes. And then when I was watching Manifest, there was one part where they had the Wheel of Fortune and the Hermit card like on a like right next to each other, just like, and they had just those two cards. And I'm like, whoa.
Weird.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
I love when that stuff happens.
Manifest.
So yeah, on 6/24, we have a full moon in Capricorn. Full moons bring a divine light and brightens up the sign that it's in. So this full moon in Capricorn brings practicality and structure to the forefront. It's a good time to tie up loose ends and forge ahead with current projects. This will ostensibly be an ideal time for projects as Mercury will have just have exited its retrograde phase on the 22nd. So just be aware of the shadow period of about a week or so. So be sure you're not, you're easing into like, you know, contractual things and stuff, and you're kind of finishing up projects rather than starting new things just yet. Don't do it. Don't do it. I'm actually doing, I'm filing paperwork for my LLC family.
Oh,
I'm waiting until Mercury retrogrades out of.
If you need a guy, I got a guy.
Do you have a guy?
I have a guy. I give him all my business now.
Let's do it.
And we'll talk about this offline.
Yeah.
All I'm going to say is you don't want to form a California LLC.
No? No. No? Okay.
No. Fair enough. That's a waste of money.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So on 6/27, Venus in Leo, and 6/11, Mars in Leo. So both Venus and Leo are kind of like on the same trajectory path. They've passed each other at this point, but they're still kind of like going relatively the same rate, kind of. So they're kind of both entering the sign of Leo.
Mm-hmm.
And so Venus being the planet of love and Mars being the planet of sex, love and sex are kind of coinciding with you right now. So two planets of love and sex will both be entering proud and ferocious Leo this month. Some of us may be entering a new romantic period full of carnal affection and public display of affection. However, others might be taking some romantic ideas or even sexual ideas and putting them into the limelight. Art, music, and poetry, which centers on love and sex, will be at the forefront this next month or so. That song recently, was it you that I was talking to?
What song?
Flowers and Sex.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was the song that kind of popped up for me that I'm like,
yeah,
okay, this is like a bop.
So
that's going to be like the song of the summer,
I feel. It was getting a little bit of hate on there, and people, I'm like, oh, could they, like, and I was like, I don't care what you say, I'm jamming it.
It's a bop.
Straight up bop.
I feel like it's too short, but I feel like a lot of songs these days are, like, now kind of doing a shorter.
That's because of the Zoomers. You Zoomers.
Zoomers are shortening pop songs.
And the attention spans, and, like, you know, a la TikTok.
Yeah. However, I feel like that's going to be like the song of summer for sure. Quote me on it. It'll happen. Finally. Okay. Yeah. Neptune retrograde 6/25 to 7/1. So to fully understand how Neptune retrogrades work, you must remember that Neptune's role in astrology is being the master of illusion. When Neptune is direct, it puts a veil over our eyes, helping us hide anxieties and unwanted realities. Once Neptune starts to retrograde, it loses its illusory power. So it strips away the rose-colored glasses, sometimes leaving us face-to-face with harsh and painful truths.
Mm.
For the next 4 months, we might start seeing some intense truths about our loved ones or ourselves. The veil will be taking off, and we will be seeing things for how they really are. In other words, we're about to get a reality check thanks to Neptune retrograde.
Uh-oh.
So finally, last part. I kind of did this before, but I'm just going to go ahead and do another one.
Homegirl Tara.
Homegirl Tara.
Tara.
A tarot reading for the week. Okay. Here we go. Oh, all right.
And then popped up.
We've got the Tower and the Chariot. The Tower.
Tara.
Looks scary, doesn't it?
Okay.
And the Chariot. I think we had the Chariot not that long ago, actually, too. Mm-hmm. So the Chariot is forward movement. And the Tower is kind of like, you know, things are kind of crumbling down. Things are, our kind of ideas are like, oh my God, it's kind of scary. However, we can move forward with that energy, that newfound clarity that we have from everything kind of crumbling down around us, and move forward with our projects. And see if we can get something else to clarify. Prudence. Dear Prudence.
Is that the same as Temperance in other decks?
This is the Eight of Pentacles.
Oh.
And Eight of Pentacles. So, if we're moving forward with this newfound clarity, this newfound insight, this newfound kind of, rather than getting wrapped up in that destructive energy, we can move forward with that energy with prudence and care and really try to, like, understand the stuff that was going on behind it. This is almost a little bit. but yeah, if we go forward, we can kind of like really do that work energetically to clear that out and work towards our new ideals.
Yes.
Yeah.
And goals.
Awesome.
Prudence.
Dear Prudence.
You got a song?
Yeah.
Oh, Beatles.
Oh, okay.
I'll look that up.
Yeah. Shall we get into some news?
You don't even know the Beatles. We turning this off. yeah, let's get into some news. We were talking about buying lotto tickets today.
Oh, we didn't do that.
We did not do that, and it's okay. Too late for today. Too late, Luther. Too late. Name the movie.
Luther. I don't
know. It was one of the Superman movies.
Lex Luther. I never watched any Superman movies.
Oh, are you sure?
I hate Superman.
What? Who hates Superman?
I know. Unpopular opinion. I don't like Superman.
I mean, I don't like ranch dressing, but I mean, like, who hates?
I just never got into him. Like, the man's too perfect.
You know what's funny about it? Now, I love how the 50s were. Superman wasn't even in shape. You know?
Right.
If you watch the 50s one. So they shoot him and he's like bouncing bullets off his chest. They throw the gun at him. What does he do? He ducks.
Like, I do remember that. Yeah,
that's what I'd make. But we need to get to this news because right. This is what happened with the lotto.
No, I want to talk about Superman.
I want to talk about Superman as well. But like, so I think Superman would win the lotto.
Probably. He's too perfect. He has no flaws.
He does.
The only flaw he has is kryptonite,
and he can't see through lead. So if you held kryptonite in some, you know that if you watch Superman, if you held kryptonite inside some lead, you'd be like, hey, Soup, what's up? That's what do you call it? That's what Richard Pryor was in Superman 3. Soup. He's like, yo, what's up, Soup? You know, because he was like the giant black guy, you know, and, you know, and you know, so he called Superman Soup. Anyhow.
All right, Peter,
so
Pryor.
A man. Well, first roll down here. No, that was more Bill Cosby.
That's Bill Cosby.
That's Bill Cosby. And yeah, I'm going to do my Richard Pryor one day. I don't need to know.
That's Bill Cosby.
This is Bill Cosby right here. Oh, goes there. Okay, so a man wins, you know, to win the lotto is a lucky thing. Sure. It's one in I don't know how many, but a Massachusetts man collected a $1 million lottery jackpot about 21 years after he won the same amount in a different game. So a Massachusetts man wins two jackpots from the lotto. Now the
crazy
right
the odds of that.
I don't know. We should look at that. I should have done this before the show. I'm not prepared. But this Massachusetts state lottery said Michael Rucka of Pittsfield scored a $1 million jackpot from the $4 million instant jackpot ticket game after buying his ticket from Kirk's Variety and Hobby Store in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. Now, Rucka chose a lump sum option for his prize and received a one-time payment of $650,000. Lottery officials, yeah, it is. And I think for me, just so I wouldn't waste it, I think I would try to take the, I mean, I don't know how the.
It was a lifetime thing. So like if you say, just divide by 40 years or something like that, you know, say if you want it.
Well, oh, I thought they did 26 years.
26 years?
I don't know, but maybe we have to see here.
I think if it's a lifetime thing, to, you know, obviously up until you die, but
oh yeah,
depending on how long you live.
Yeah. I would want enough to be like, okay, I'm comfortable and now I can risk it and do my endeavors. I have money taken care of, so let me do my other endeavors.
I would do the annual thing myself.
I hope I would. I mean, it depends on what they would give you per year.
That would run out eventually.
Yeah. Well, they said, I mean, he chose the lump payment, the one-time payment. That's lump also. Lottery officials say Rucka previously won a $1 million jackpot from the $1 million draw back in May of 2000. I can't believe that's 21 years ago.
Yeah.
I remember when I was a kid, they talked about the year 2000. Mm-hmm. And like that's 21 years and 1 month ago.
Seventh grade? Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I know.
I was 22. Okay. I don't like this game anymore. He chose to take the full prize amount in annual installments, receiving his final payment in May of 2020. 1 year before winning the second jackpot. So that gives you 20 years right there.
So he chose the full prize amount in the annual installments, receiving his final payment in May 2000, 1 year before winning the second. Oh, okay. So he took the full prize amount annual the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second time he did the lump sum.
Yeah, so that's like $50,000 a year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh my God. You see this final payment a year before. That's crazy.
Yeah.
The timing.
Yes, yes.
What would you do with $1 million?
What wouldn't I do with $1 million?
It'll be the first thing you do. Can you say something?
No, I you know what? I don't know. I always say what I would and wouldn't do. I might convert it into like, you know, buy a big vault and convert the rest of it into coins and have it sliding through my fingers like Scrooge McDuck. Like, I'm rich. I'm rich. You know, I mean, like Daffy Duck when he's like, I'm rich. I'm socially wealthy.
Make it rain.
$1 bills. I don't know what I would do. I mean, I hope that I would put it into my music.
Yeah.
Of course. I would definitely need some,
seed money for that.
Yeah. I mean, I would get some like recording, some actual, because I have a lot of songs and some of them have not been recorded.
Yeah.
So I would do that.
Mm. I would probably pay off my debts first.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. Pay off your debts first. But then, which granted, wouldn't really be a lot for like $1 million. But I think first thing I would buy is get rid of this junk car.
This one right here?
This one right here.
Oh. This one right here.
The one in space.
The one in space. My space car.
I would dump my junk car and get a space car. That's what I would do.
Nice.
Yeah.
Are those space pants? Because your ass is out of this world.
So this is something that I learned on a podcast with Neil deGrasse Tyson that was happening a couple months ago. But I know a lot of our East Coast friends are really dealing with some cicadas that are flying around in en masse, like billions.
Circadian rhythm?
No, cicadas. Oh, the bugs. Like, not the circadian rhythm.
Did you tell me my circadian rhythm was off? Did somebody tell me that?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Yeah, because you don't have any sunlight in your apartment.
Your circadian rhythm is off.
We're doing the but in parts of eastern, central, and southern United States, trillions of Brood 10 periodical cicadas are now emerging after 17 years spent underground. As the days warm up, more and more will make the journey up the tree trunks to molt, find a mate, lay their eggs, and then die soon after. In a number of places, people have been collecting these cicadas for food, some out of curiosity, and others to demonstrate sustainable ways of eating. I actually saw an article recently that had a pizza. Mm-hmm. That is topped with cicadas.
Wow.
People are eating these, like it's kind of a thing on the East Coast. A lot of these people like to eat these bugs because it's just so many of them. So yeah, they like deep fry them, put them in all kinds of things, pizzas, what have you.
Damn.
Yeah, there's videos and stuff. It's pretty gnarly. But every 17 years, cicadas swarm several eastern and midwest U.S. states, coating to each other, animals, bouncing off cars and people, drowning out engines with their deafening call. Brood 10, the largest and most widespread of the known periodical cicada groups, began emerging late last month. So these cicadas can be anything from a nuisance to oddity or complete phobia, like something out of a horror movie. The cicadas can definitely cause some havoc and have allegedly been the cause of a car crash, according to an NPR report. Literally, this car like ran into like a fire hydrant. And the reason was because it was just swarmed with cicadas.
Used to worry about Al-Qaeda. Now we're worrying about Circadian.
Brood 10, I don't know either, but I liked it. Brood 10 will apparently be buzzing for another few weeks through the summer and will go back underground for another 17-year slumber.
Come on, y'all. We're going to sleep. See y'all fools in 17 years.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
If anybody that we know on the East Coast can get some of these shells or like anything, send them to me. DM me. I want them.
We want a box of cicadas.
I want cicadas. I really, really, really want like
chocolate-covered cicadas.
Not, maybe not that. But I know that exists probably.
White chocolate.
Ooh, that might be your up your alley. I hate white chocolate.
Oh, I can't even do this no more. I love white
chocolate. I hate white chocolate. It's not real chocolate. You know that?
But it's good though. But I'm not the biggest fan. I mean, I like chocolate. Chocolate's okay. But like for me, like white chocolate, anything, like the Reese's peanut butter cups, now I only get the white chocolate.
Yeah.
Love me some white chocolate. You know what I don't like? I don't like the dark chocolate. But I like white chocolate and milk chocolate, but the dark chocolate, it's just like bitter.
I lied. I do like one white chocolate bar, and it's the Hershey's cookies and cream bar with the white chocolate and like the little cookies in it.
Yes,
I like,
Lord.
I like that.
Yeah. Okay, so I don't know why I'm getting okay. So in mid-May, millions of superheated gas, millions of gas.
It happens every night, and now after a pint of ice cream.
Right. I have ice cream in there. Didn't talk about that. So in mid-May, millions of tons of superheated gas shot from the surface of the sun and hurled 90 million miles toward Earth. Are we safe? And that's what I'm wondering, because these solar storms. So it's funny, when I was a kid, I couldn't say S's or Z's. I went to speech therapy. So I would say for storm, I'd probably say thorns.
Yeah.
So there you go. But this eruption called coronal mass injection, ejection was, and I thought of corona.
Coronal mass ejection.
A coronal mass ejection, sexy. Right? Just coronal mass. But it wasn't particularly powerful on the space weather scale. But when it hit the Earth's magnetic field, it triggered the strongest geomagnetic storm seen for years. Now, while invisible and harmless to anyone on the Earth's surface, the geomagnetic waves unleashed by solar storms can cripple power grids, jam radio communications, bathe airline crews. They can mess up like dangerous levels of radiation, knock down. I don't know why that was so funny.
I don't know either.
Knock down. Shower me with your love.
Shower me with your radiation.
But it can knock down critical satellites off kilter. So solar storms have their roots in an 11-year cycle that shifts the polarity of the sun's magnetic field. The magnetic forces at work on the sun tangled during the process and can punch through the surface, sending the sun's plasma into outer space and potentially triggering storms on Earth. Now, a recent study suggested that hardening the Earth's power grid could lead to $27 billion worth of benefits of, for the U.S. power industry. Damage in 2017, a solar storm caused harm or caused ham radios. Those are the most tasty radios. they are ham and cheese radios, but they caused the ham radios to turn static, just as a Category 5 Hurricane Irma was ripping through the Caribbean in 2015. We were even alive, right? My social standing would be different in 1915. Solar storms knocked out global positioning systems in the U.S. Northeast. See, I'm going to not be able to say my S's or V's anymore. And the sun storms will be reaching a peak in 2025. And the specter of powerful space weather creates uncertainty in a world that has become more and more reliant on technology since the last big solar storm 17 years ago.
So didn't you do a story recently about solar storms?
No, but I want to.
You did plasma storms.
Now we got to see.
Maybe like the last episode before the last.
Extra credit, y'all, if you can tell me if I did or not.
Yeah, I think you did do one about plasma storms, knocking shit out.
Knocking shit out, baby.
But that's crazy. Like, you know, it can knock out like GPS systems and stuff. That's nuts.
Your GPS system?
Yeah, man.
Bam!
Yeah.
You got knocked out.
So this is a story that it's a little late, I would say, but this happened back last year. But I just learned about it. So
it's
new to me.
And maybe to you.
And I don't know about you guys, but I really love cryptozoology. When I was a kid, I was like obsessed with Loch Ness Monster. I was obsessed with Nessie and
Chupacabra.
That's the same thing. Chupacabras, Bigfoot even. I love this stuff. But one of my favorite things on Earth is the Mothman.
Okay, yeah, let's hear about this.
So apparently there's been a recent uptick of sightings of the Mothman in the Midwest. So the Singular 14 Society, a paranormal news publication, reports that a 15-year United States Postal Service veteran encountered a tall, red-eyed, winged creature after work at Chicago O'Hare International Airport. The witness says she was walking to her car late in the evening after a long shift and saw a large man in an oversized coat staring back at her from the shadows. Only it wasn't a man at all, and that was no coat. She said, "I had just left work at the USPS sorting facility at O'Hare Airport at about 11 p.m. on Thursday, the 24th of September, last year, 2020. I was walking out to my car when I saw something standing at the far end of the parking lot where I usually park. As I got closer to my car, I unlocked my car, which caused my headlights to come on. My headlights hit the person standing about 20 to 25 feet from my car, causing them to turn and look right at me. I saw that this was not the same person, but some red-eyed creature, and what appeared to be a coat were actually wings, which it spread out as it turned to look at me."
Dun, dun, dun. Wait, so is this Mothman, is this a real thing?
Have you seen the Mothman prophecies?
No. I've heard of this, though.
Yeah, so it was a movie based off a book, based off true events, that people in Pleasanton, Virginia, Pleasanton, Virginia, there was a giant bridge, a big famous bridge over there. And tons of people for months had been seeing this creature in their neighborhoods at night, like kind of like trying to interact with people, I think.
They're not playing.
There's a really famous, it would like knock out like electrical stuff too when it was nearby. So people were like on the phone and all of a sudden the shit would like turn to static. Yeah, so that was illustrated in the movie too. But a lot of people saw this creature, and a lot of people saw this creature leading up to this collapse of this bridge. And a lot of people died on this bridge, first of all, when it collapsed. And a lot of witnesses also say that the Mothman was present during that collapse. So there was a lot of like doomsdayers saying that like maybe it caused it, but
like it was chewing on some rope.
Like it caused it. But I think what really happened if it were to actually exist, is they was trying to warn people that this was going to happen. It was like a premonition of what was going to happen. It was trying to warn people in some way.
Oh, that's
So yeah, I the Mothman legend is like crazy. So let's get into that. The Mothman legend began in the late 60s in Point Pleasant, West Virginia, nearly 500 miles away from Chicago. Multiple witnesses saw something large and human-like flying through the sky. One described it as a bird, as a large bird with red eyes, and another said it looked like a large flying man with 10-foot wings. Just over a year after the initial sighting of the creature, in December of 1967, the local Silver Bridge collapsed, killing 46 people during the event, during an evening rush. Since then, the Mothman has become a cryptozoological legend, one that has inspired novels, documentaries, and even blockbuster Hollywood film starring Richard Gere. There's been a resurgence of Mothman sightings over the past few years in and around Lake Michigan. In fact, according to the Singular 14 Society, there have been reports from every state bordering the Great Lakes. So it's interesting the last few years that they've been seeing it around this particular area of the Midwest. Is it another premonition? Is there something going to happen in the lakes? Who knows?
I was talking about COVID, but like this was during COVID. So, well, damn. Well, guess what else is going on? We have this thing, I'm loving this right here because I'm a Samsung fan. Love me some Android OS.
I sold myself the iPhone a long time ago.
He liked iOS. I just got to say this for a second. Sometimes people say iPhone versus Android, which isn't right because it's Android OS versus iOS, or like the iPhone versus a Samsung Galaxy, or the iPhone versus. So you can't say iPhone versus.
So iPhone's not the operating system, whereas Android is.
Yeah, and with iOS has only one phone.
I think it's kind of more of a ring to it. iPhone versus Android.
Yeah,
a ring to it.
Maybe, but I think people are like, well, you have an Android. That's because there are some Androids that are like $99 phones.
Yeah,
and and Android OS has some phones that are. Anyhow, that's not what it's about right now. People, that's not what it's about. I'm just getting hooked up.
This is the rest of the episode as we will discuss the differences between iPhone and Android because we talk about this ad nauseum.
Yes, we do. So your iPhone may be taking pictures of you. Why would it do that? So a video showing a mobile device snapping infrared images of an iPhone user is circulating around the internet and is catching many by surprise. Surprise! In the TikTok video shared by Bree Thomason, a digital camera using an infrared lens is seen filming an iPhone user observing his home screen. As the iPhone user stares at the device, Thomason's camera captures the iPhone snapping multiple infrared images every 5 to 10 seconds. Since the video was uploaded to social media on May 8th, it has garnered over 230,000 likes and 18,000 shares, alarming some and catching many off guard. While this discovery may cause some users to panic, Apple says this is actually just an aspect of the iPhone, iPhone X, and up that allows users to control their face ID and Animoji, the animated emoji function. Likely story, Apple. The company says this feature is part of the new True Depth. You have your iPhone?
Yeah. I will demonstrate in a moment.
So officials say this, what did they say? They said the True Depth IR camera housed in the black notch top of the display screen includes high-tech components such as flood illuminator, infrared camera, and infrared emitter. Officials say as an iPhone is used, it emits 30,000 infrared dots known as in a known pattern when a face is detected, enabling the iPhone X, or is it 10 or X?
10.
The iPhone 10, Malcolm 10, to generate AC. This is how little I know about the about iOS.
Yeah.
Is it X or 10? To generate a 3D map of a user's face. So, yes, your iPhone is essentially taking invisible photos of you but perhaps not for the reasons you might think.
Right. So here it is. This is my iPhone, the real phone. You can see the little camera up there, the notch. This is what happens. Now it's unlocked. Basically, what happens is the infrared takes an image of my face because it's Face ID, face recognition technology. It unlocks your phone and you just look at it.
Yeah, do your eyes have to be open for that?
Not necessarily. I've even had sunglasses on and they'll do it.
So somebody could, while you're sleeping, hold your phone to your face.
I've done that.
To somebody else?
To somebody else.
See?
I don't know if I should tell the story, but...
they listen to the show?
Probably not. I'm not going to tell the story, actually. I'll write about it on my blog at some point.
So
that'll be a hook of horror story for you guys.
Ooh.
So, yes, finally, we have... so this is kind of what I was alluding to earlier, but Ohio Republicans are writing a bill to ban teachers talking about race in schools.
What?
Yes. So this is a lot of like that conservative, radicalized conservatism that's happening right now. So it's kind of backlash from Black Lives Matter in a way, because all these kind of teachers in the Midwest are now kind of like obligated to teach students about critical race theory. And a lot of the families say, we don't want our kids learning about this because they think it causes problems. Now, a growing group of Ohio's Republican lawmakers say they're troubled by the new way some schools are teaching history, and they want to put a stop to it. It's called critical race theory, or CRT for short. And it's an academic concept based on the idea that racism is more than individual bias, which is true. It's a systemic problem that's embedded into our legal system, our algorithms, and our laws. Supporters say CRT teaches how racism shaped public policy and life in America. Opponents, like sponsors of House Bill 322, call it a dangerous and divisive theory. Kimberly Crenshaw, a critical race theorist and professor at UCLA and Columbia University, describes CRT as an understanding that people who have racial biases, even unconscious ones, cannot create unbiased systems and laws, which is absolutely certain. Even if you don't know what you are biased against, you can't necessarily make unbiased decisions.
Makes sense. Yeah.
That's just, it feels like common sense, but apparently it's not. One example is the way banks drew red lines around predominantly Black neighborhoods to mark them as being high risk for home loans in the 1930s, or how Amazon and other companies working on facial recognition technology, like the iPhone, in 2019, actually, I don't think the iPhone has this problem, but back in 2019, created software that didn't accurately recognize Black faces.
I remember that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think there was a documentary on recently on Netflix, technology related. I want to watch it. I forget what it's called right now, but one of the people actually was part of that. They said, hey, I'm doing this project on technology or like facial recognition technology, but she was Black. Could not actually make the thing work because it didn't recognize her face.
And it's funny, I think of like, I don't know if they're still calling this the flesh-colored Band-Aids.
Right.
Yeah. Ain't my color flesh, man.
Exactly, yeah.
I don't know why I keep using that voice.
Or like makeup, for example, nude is not necessarily nude for everyone.
Oh, yeah. You know,
people with deeper skin, obviously, that's not nude for them. That's
that's a highlight.
Yeah. That's a sentiment being echoed throughout the country. States like Texas, Idaho, Tennessee, and Rhode Island all have introduced bills to ban the teaching of CRT in public schools. Here in Ohio, Jones's bill has 26 Republican co-sponsors and counting. The Rep. Diane Brindle R. Chesterfield, Republican Chesterfield, is working on a similar piece of legislation. If passed, HB 322 would prohibit schools from requiring teachers to use examples from current events or ongoing controversial issues in their classrooms, which, excuse me, we're literally in the middle of history and people are trying to stop history from being happening.
I don't know, I was laughing at this when you said R. Chesterland. I was thinking that's R. Kelly's friend, brother.
R. Chesterfield?
Yeah.
R. Chesterland?
Yeah. I'm like, R. Kelly.
R. Kelly. And schools couldn't require lessons about current pieces of legislation or the groups lobbying for and against them. So here's the other thing is people actually question if it's being taught in schools at all, because the Ohio State Board of Education sets standards of things that you must teach, like about the Civil War, but doesn't actually dictate what materials to use. So people are actually questioning if this is actually being taught in schools at all, or even elementary schools. At the same time, it's also leading to a lot of confusion and anxiety for teachers, because like, what if a student asks me this question? Am I allowed to tell them about it, or not? Like, and it's just really kind of puts a damper on, because teachers are in charge of educating people, first of all. If we're setting, we already have problems with the academic world as it is, with people not knowing, or ignorance, basically, like not being taught things that are like crucial. And so when we're actually dictating that things cannot be taught because people get their panties in a bunch about it, mostly white people, I would say.
He said that. I didn't say that.
It mostly was, white people.
It would be racist if I said that.
But
I don't even know if that's true or not.
I'm not white.
Well, no, because you look pink
right now. I look pink right now.
You do.
I'm a pink person. But yeah, like, it's just messed up. Like teachers should be allowed to teach whatever it is that needs to be taught.
Preach.
And
you teach.
Teach. Yeah. What say you?
I say that, you know, it's weird. That's all. It's weird. No, the end. The end. That's all I wanted to say. But no, I think it's funny when, you know, you teach things like this and it goes from, you know, okay, we see the what America has done in forms of race and how that's, you know, shaped us, to, well, no, that's too political. Because that's when the people that are saying no are saying, well, no, that's a political belief or this or that. And in actuality, you know, a lot of this is reporting facts. You report mm-hmm. what happened with Jim Crow laws. Mm-hmm. You're reporting facts. You talk about what happened from the Civil War. And we're not saying, like, you know, give everybody, like, you know, people of color, give us a pass. But by the same token, we're, you know, shedding some light, or this at critical race theory is shedding some light on the fact that, hey, a lot of, you know, when you say that everybody's had the same chances, some people have it, and here's why.
Yeah. I mean, you bring up a good point, too. Like, I feel like a lot of, like, what conservative people are doing now is they're politicizing things that, I mean, a lot of leftists, too, they really politicize a lot of things mm-hmm. because it kind of needs to be, but at the same time, it's being politicized over here, too. And so I don't think that these things particularly need to be politicized, for example. They need to be brought to our attention, however. And so when people are kind of forced not to teach these things, it's unfortunate, because now we're kind of putting our kids at a disadvantage.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, there, I get political right now, but one of the things, you know, of, you know, the Republican Party, of Lincoln's party, when it, you know, one thing it was founded for was supposed to be really not what I see these days, but it's supposed to be less government, mm-hmm. less restrictions. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, that some of those ideas, I love some of those ideas. Unfortunately, that's not what I see of, why they're trying to be political on here, but
yeah.
That's not what I see of, you know, of the conservatives today. It seems like it's the opposite of that.
Yeah.
So if you're conservative and you listen to this show, you know, write us, you know, let us,
you know. Let us know how you feel,
truly, because,
yeah. Like, you know, your input is valuable as well. Like, you know, obviously we're biased here, like, clearly, but it's not in the way that we don't try to understand from another perspective.
Yeah.
Like, we understand because of the stuff that has gone on recently that, yeah, this stuff is touching, of course, and but we can't be afraid of that. We have to be able to tackle it head on.
Tackle.
Anyways, as usual, you can find links to all these articles used in today's episode in our show notes, located on our website at acosmicjourneypod.com. If you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to subscribe and like this video. And subscribe for more every week.
Yeah, and if you're listening to the podcast, stay tuned for our interview. We have some great interviews
with Susie Cartwright.
Yeah. We have a lot of great interviews.
I always forget to change that. We'll be right back.
We'll be back.
We're the that comes from? Anywho, welcome to the show. This is Susie Kerr Wright. She is a Susie and certified psychic medium, an astrologer and life coach. She has studied at the prestigious Arthur Findlay College of Psychic Sciences in England, is a graduate of Dale Carnegie, and has a PhR in human resources. She also hosts Astrodrama events, which are an interactive way to learn about astrology. Welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Thank you. It's nice to see you guys.
Nice to see you
too. You on.
We were already like kind of like gabbing, like getting into something. Like let's just get right into it.
Oh my gosh. I was just saying how I right before I came on the show, I was just writing the horoscopes for this week, and it's just this is going to be such a chaotic week. You know, yeah. Have you looked at any of the aspects for it? Or?
Yeah, so we actually just did it. We just recorded an astrology forecast for my little section that I do on the show.
Yeah,
and It's I had to cover it for the next 2 weeks because we're going to be gone the next 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we have all these retrogrades going on and all this stuff. And
yeah, eclipses, you know, I love eclipses. I really do, because they're like, you know, they supercharge your intentions, right? Mm-hmm. So whether you're releasing or you're manifesting, it's like it adds that like extra power, you know? Nice. And so, so they're not really bad, but sometimes we just get like this whole cluster of things going on that can really, you know, I mean, basically what I kind of wrote for this week is like, just like get your magical unicorn, stuffed unicorn, and some and either write the book you've always wanted to write or read the book you have, you know, you've been trying to read for the last year and just stay out of it, you know? Right. Well.
Basically, just keep to yourself. Just you know, work on what you got going on, and hopefully, just get it done.
Yeah. I mean, and that's always smart advice to take. Anyways, it's like stay out of it. But there's some weeks where we're just more inclined to engage, and you know, other weeks where it's just like just back off, let it. You know, it's like that storm, you know, that goes that summer storm, you know, when you have to come in from outside, and then you know it's gonna pass, but you just have to kind of chill for a while, look around, be grateful you have like you know, peanut butter, jelly, and fluff sandwiches, you know,
right?
You know, and just kind of hang out. So, because it will pass.
You're in Nashville currently.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you from? I detect an accent.
Yeah, not here. I'm actually from Boston, and I have
that's
lived
what
in
it
like
is.
Seven major cities. I've lived in New York. I lived in LA. I was there for the Northridge quake.
Mm-hmm. Oh wow.
Yeah, that's why I don't live there anymore. I loved it, but I was gone. I was like, if this happens, no, I don't think so. Yeah. And I've lived in Las Vegas, Reno. Wow. There's a couple more, a few more in there. Oh, New Jersey, but we don't talk about that.
Well traveled, I guess.
And now Nashville, yeah. And I've been here longer than I've been anywhere.
Wow.
So you grew up in Boston, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. Cool. I actually, so funny story. Last summer, I went on a little backpacking trip myself from D.C. to Boston. And first time on the East, well, I've been to New York before, but the first time I've actually been to like D.C., I went to New York and then I went to Boston. But the first time in Boston, I loved Boston. But yeah. Boston is different.
When I lived in Reno, I went to San Francisco. I ran comedy clubs. I've had so many lifetimes, guys. Comedy clubs for years, and I ran them in Boston. And then when I got to Reno, I was still running clubs. So I would go to San Francisco to like farm my comics, you know? So I spent a lot of time there, and I just felt like it was like Boston West Coast. And I'm like, you know, and a lot of Boston people had moved there. And I was like, why? It's like the same. I mean, maybe it's a little prettier, but you know,
I thought it was gorgeous when I was there.
Yeah.
It's really pretty.
I love Boston. I really do. It'll always be my home.
I got to visit sometime.
Yeah.
It's amazing. You know, but it's funny though. I think all the time, like for years, I was just like, I want to go home. And I married somebody who was born and raised here in Nashville. So basically I'll never get out. I wanted to go home. I want to go back. And then I get up there and it's like, oh, the people, there's so many people everywhere. It's like, and they live in tiny houses. And it's like, you know, and I get back here, I'm like, spread out, you know. So I'm good here in Nashville with a lot of trips, you know, back home and all that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, oh, No, I was just going to.
That was your question.
No, I was just thinking I'm going to be in Tennessee like in a couple of months. So that's awesome.
Oh, you are?
Yes, in Memphis.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, for a work trip.
Cool. I know that.
Yeah. When did you move to England and what brought you to Nashville?
I've just traveled over there. I just stayed over there to go to that school you go for like, 7 to 10 days at a time. Okay. And I went over there a couple times and then I had also been to London, you know, previously just to go there many, many moons ago. Mm-hmm. But the school is incredible. Oh my gosh, the Arthur Findlay College, it's Hogwarts.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And everybody in there is a metaphysical teacher of some sort, and people come from all over the world.
Yeah.
And it's the most amazing experience I think I've ever had. And I just learned so much. And you know, you're sitting you're eating three meals a day with like people from everywhere, and you're learning all about them and where they're from. And oh gosh, it was just awesome. It was awesome.
What part of England is it in?
It's in a little town called Stansted. Mm-hmm. And it's like a little, it looks like, you know, a country yeah, town. Yeah. As a matter of fact, the last time I went, I took a lot of I took some trips beforehand around the London area, and when I went up there, instead of taking I ended up getting dropped off at a bus station in the middle of the town.
Yeah.
And it was like nobody was there. I mean, this was several years ago. It wasn't COVID thing. It was like nobody was there. The pub was the only thing open, and a cab stand. And I was like, I have no idea which way I'm supposed to go. I got my suitcases with me, you know, ready for the week to stay there. And it's like, it's wild. It's wild. Yeah. It is so beautiful over there. It's just gorgeous.
My mom and I took a trip to London back in 2019, actually. That was my first time out of the country, actually. And it was so, so fun.
Yeah.
So fun. We went for a whole week.
Gosh, yeah, it takes a lot to get me on a plane. I'm very afraid of flying, and I don't drink anymore. So,
I passed out on the plane at one point.
Like, did you? From drinking? Or, yeah.
No. I literally I lost oxygen and I just like passed out. I hit my head. Yeah, it was weird. But we won't. Yeah,
long flights overseas, you know. But I, you know, I've done it. I've done it three times. I've been to Hawaii once. It's like I'll do it, but it's like, you know.
Oh wow!
Gotta knock me out.
So let's talk about mediumship here.
Yeah.
So we know about the three clairs: clairaudient, clairvoyant, clairsentient. What would you describe your gifts as?
My strong clair is clairsentience. Like I get the feeling first, and it's, you know, sometimes it's just like little tingles or the hair on the back of my neck stands up, and that's when I know spirit's present. Mm-hmm. And then while I'm getting the messages, when I'm connecting with spirit, it's like all the clairs firing. It's pretty wild. It's like, I see things, I hear things. There's clairgustance and the other one, the smell and taste, you know. Wow. Sometimes I'll smell and taste things. Sometimes it's that claircognizance. I'll just know. I'll know that I know that I know this, and I don't know how I know this. You have that?
Yeah, I have that. Yeah. Sometimes I just know things. And even when I was a kid, my mom was like, how do you fucking know that?
Oh, we can swear on here?
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Come on, girl.
Yeah.
Nice. Let it all out.
Yeah, I always have to be very, very careful because I do swear a lot because that's what we do up north. I'm telling you, 22 years here in Nashville and nothing's changed.
No.
They've just had to me.
How did you know you could do all this?
Good question. Like, honestly, I've always done it. Like, I never didn't talk to spirit. I never didn't. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know that I was doing mediumship. As a matter of fact, like, that was the one thing I never wanted to do. Like, when I was a kid, I started, you know, I was always fascinated with ghosts and ghost stories. I, you know, growing up in Boston, what do we have there? Salem. And that was my favorite place to go, you know. I got my first deck of cards at, I was about 11. It was that little gypsy fortune telling cards, you know, the little orange box. Mm-hmm. And got that in Salem and I was off and running. I mean, that was it. And so I started studying astrology then and tarot and those things just kind of, and I Ching for a long time. I did that. And they followed me through my whole life. And about 14 years ago is when I finally decided to make a commitment to go, you know, full time with this. This was always going to be my like retirement plan, you know?
Right. No.
And I was just like, no, there was just no way to not do it anymore, you know?
Yeah.
And so, so I was, you know, I was kind of doing readings, my usual readings for, you know, a while. And I really blend astrology and tarot together. I mean, I studied astrologer and, you know, and, but for some reason they just, I don't want to sound snotty, but it's like I've been doing them so long, I don't know where one stops and one starts when I'm doing a reading. It's just like, oh yeah, here I am climbing in your chart, and then it's like, oh yeah, oh, you have cards here, you know.
No, I agree. I agree with that completely. Like I feel like tarot, astrology, and numerology have like, yes, a weird like trifecta relationship with each other that you know, they're just really, really powerful tools, like especially when you use them together.
Absolutely. Yeah. They really do blend well. Yeah. And just thinking my cousin Vinny. Yeah, you blend. So anyways, but to answer your question, I was, you know, that was the practice that I set up, you know, with psychic readings. And, and one day I was sitting in my little office and, reading for this woman, and I look up and here's another ghost, here's a person, you know, and I'm like, oh, what am I going to do with this? And I just, this one was different because it wasn't just a random like pop up in your face ghost or, you know, that like I'd experienced my whole life, you know. I just felt like he was there for a purpose. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, okay, I need to figure out like what to do about this, you know. And I have a client sitting there, and I'm just like, you know, like don't never let him see you sweat, you know.
Who is this man?
Yeah, and I just kind of started like mentally, like you know, connecting with him and asking him questions, you know. Wow. And he answered me, and it was the woman's brother who had committed suicide, and it was just so tragic, and it was just. But her life was like changed from that reading. And it, and when she left, I will never forget, I heard the sound of that door click and I just went, I was like, what did I just do?
Wow.
I had no idea. Cause I didn't want to be a medium.
Right.
And,
yeah.
And it just, and after that, it was like the floodgates opened. And oddly enough, I had signed up for a clairvoyant class with someone named Deborah Katz. She has a school for clairvoyance, and I had been signed up for it for about a month, and so when that woman left, I just went, all right, spirit, you know, if this is what I'm supposed to do, you better send me teachers now, because I can't fake this. This is like serious stuff, you know. I got to take this seriously. And so when I went to the clairvoyant class, she announced the syllabus for the weekend, and she said, and tomorrow we're going to be spending half the day on mediumship. And I went, thank you. It's my teacher.
Ta-da.
And so Deborah Katz, who, she wrote a book called You Are Psychic, and she was the one that really introduced me to like safe mediuming, you know? Wow. And then after that, I was off and running. Once I realized that I was able to control these interactions and how to communicate with spirit, it was like I'd been doing it all my life, you know, and I didn't realize it.
Yeah.
Do you think you can communicate with anyone who's passed on, or just certain types, or?
Yeah, anyone.
Wow.
Anyone,
okay,
at all. And you know, even pets. I did some pet readings yesterday, some pet mediumship. Yeah, people love to, you know, it's so funny. Pets are so different to read, you know, to bring through in mediumship. It's really interesting. Cuz sometimes they say things. So, huh? Yeah,
they speak? Sort of.
You know, it's, well, so here's the deal. So with mediumship, guys, right? It's like my what goes on and what I have going on when it happens is it's almost like synesthesia. I can smell colors, I can taste sound, I can, everything gets all kind of blended in. Okay. And so happens when you're talking to a pet, you're hearing something, but they don't have, you know, human words, you know that you're hearing them, and some of them are like super old souls, like you know, and pet owners know that.
Mm-hmm.
They know, you know, if you've ever, well, you guys have a little doggy there. Everybody's
yeah, we do. On, but... literally on our lap right here.
Oh, I love it. Oh.
He's actually my mom's dog. I'm taking care of him for the time being.
Oh, he's precious.
I think she's taking him back next month, actually.
No.
But I might get my own. I might get my own because I can't do without now.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aww.
So they
do communicate and they show me things that they experience in life, and they show me, you know, mostly like the validation, like the evidence that comes through with them are things that happen in like in the human's life or sometimes in theirs, you know, if they had an accident or, you know, something happened.
Right.
Yeah. So,
yeah. So we already kind of touched on this already, like Hogwarts. what was it like in like studying this in England? Like, what was your experience at the school like?
It's very different than they teach mediumship. They are part of the spiritualist worldwide, you know, religion, you know, spiritualist religion. I don't know. From my understanding, they formed a religion so that they could have free thought and free speech and the ability to convene, you know, in these communities without being pestered by, you know, people who didn't agree with them. Yeah. And so you know, I always kind of laugh when I say church, but they do have churches. They have church services, and
yeah.
So the Spiritualist Church owns the college now. It was given to them by Arthur Finley, whose life was changed by his experiences with mediumship, and so yeah, I mean, you're there, you know, you wake up, you know, in the morning, you go have breakfast in this big room with everybody from, you know, it's usually a couple of hundred people in your class, and then you break out into the, you know, rooms that you're going to be in for the day, and you just do work. You just do mediumship. You practice different techniques in it. The amount of things that you can do in mediumship is beyond comprehension. Most people just think it's like, oh, here's dead people talking, here's your message, you know. Yeah. And it's like, but there's all kinds of ways you can bring evidence of people still living on the other side to people. It's you know, and so, you know, we play mediumship games, and of course, you know, then you've got your afternoon tea, and you know, mm-hmm. But it's just like it's living in a school. But you work from really early in the morning until really late at night, and it's pretty amazing the energy that it takes. Like, this is something like most people wouldn't even think about. I love to eat anyways, but I was eating probably 10 times more than I ever ate before, and I lost weight there.
Wow!
And when I started asking, I'm like, okay, what's the magic? Like, what is it? Food? Yeah. Like, what is it? You know, because I mean, their food. So, you know, for breakfast, you're eating
heavy,
like beans and tomatoes and, you know, and eggs and all this stuff. And it's the energy. Using every bit of your physical energy to channel. Wow. And you're in that vibration the whole time you're there. You know, it's a week or 10 days, whatever. You know, I think I did one of each. And you know, and like I said, some people are there because this is their calling. This is what they're going to do for a living. And others are there just because they're just exploring their own spirituality, their own, you know, intuitive abilities. And yeah, and the teachers are just perfect. But they teach you, is what I was trying to get to. The style of mediumship is very, very different. It's not very, very different, but it's focused more on the personality of the person rather than let's get evidence, message. You know, here's his name, here's how he died, here's the message. It's more like, and he felt like this. And, you know, of course, when you're listening to them with the accents, it's just so lovely.
Yeah.
And you understand how he felt like this, you know. yes I do, you know. It's just so, it's so flowy and just beautiful the way they do it. So wow. I'm kind of a hybrid of that, you know, but a lot of mediums in this country are you know, they're slightly different than that. I actually had one of the tutors look at me one day. And I was about to go up and do a demonstration. They call it a demonstration of mediumship. You're going to do a dem. Insider stuff there. And she came over to me and she said, now, Miss Wright, mediumship is 90% personality, 10% the message. And someone needs to be brave enough to do that. And I was like, I guess it's me. It was so, yeah, they're real serious about their mediumship over there.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow.
Notoriously, I had a supernatural experience with a medium once. I met them on a dating app.
Wow.
And then through the app, for whatever reason, my grandmother came through and started, he was like messaging me like via this. I'm like, okay, like we need to get together. We need to like, you know, I need more info. And so, wow. And so we met. And he did like a tarot reading along with it. And it was like this, like the room was like vibrating. Like, mm-hmm. The room that we were in was just like vibrating. And like, you know, the messages that were being sent were like literally my grandma talking to me. Mm-hmm. And I was just, I thought it was very funny to bring up that I met this person via Grindr.
Hey, we get the messages wherever they come from, you know.
Wherever they come from, it was just very surprising.
Yeah, you know, everybody's, you know, not everybody is going to come through me, you know. I don't know the why or how. I really don't know what makes that happen one way or another. But you know, different mediums will get different people for, you know, for sitters. And so, you know, spirit world kind of runs itself and we're just the conduit, yeah, you know,
basically antennas.
Yeah. Has anyone come, described the other side or anything? Has that ever happened before?
Described it?
Yeah. Or said anything about what the other side is like?
They do. It's, yeah, yes, all the time. I hear things, and this is one of those tricky areas because nobody really knows until we get there.
Right, right.
In my experience with talking to people who exist in that realm, it's, you know, we're still evolving. We still evolve and change. Oh. And this is why, like, I think somebody was asking me, I don't know if it was you, I'm sorry, about, you know, you ever get anything like kind of negative coming through? Yeah, I do. But what happens is I'll usually, you know, like say there's, you know, somebody's grandfather was a horrible, you know, mean man when he was here. Mm-hmm. Well, he's got to come through like that so I can describe it to the person. Because if I say, I have this wonderful man and he's so full of love and he just wants to apologize to you, they're going to be like, what the heck are you talking about? You know, it's like, that is not my grandfather. And so I have to be okay with taking that negative energy, mm-hmm. and sitting with it and allowing this person to show me that side of them, so that I can give the message. And ultimately what happens is that they will come through after the sitter knows who this is and is confident of who it is, then they will shift and they'll start going into this, you know, apologies or explanations or whatever it is that they want to do. So to answer your question is that we still grow. We still grow. They need us as much as we need them.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Never think of that, do you?
You're right.
Yeah. And so we're in a mutually, you know, beneficial relationship when we're doing mediumship, when we're talking to our spirit people, when we're receiving that message from our spirit people. So I have literally had a woman come through and she was difficult. She would not, she wasn't a bad person. She was just really cautious. It was like pulling teeth, trying to get her to come through. I could see her. I knew she was here. The little tidbits that she was giving me at first, the sitter was like, yes, yes, yes. Oh my gosh, that's my mom, you know? And then finally, when it kind of opened up, she said, please tell my daughter, I'm so sorry. I was very wrong. And about the way things are here. And I said, she just wants, you know, me to tell you that. And she just looked at me. She goes, do you realize my mother was a Jehovah's Witness?
Wow.
Like, no, I had no idea. Like, I don't know that. Wow. How would I know that? So she came through to tell me that she was wrong. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, everything Jehovah's Witnesses believe is wrong. That's their belief and everyone's entitled to their own, you know, thoughts. But that was, whatever that woman's experience was on the other side was not what she thought it was going to be before she left this earth.
Wow.
Interesting.
And she apologized to her daughter for that.
Wow, that's beautiful.
So yeah, when you get stuff like that, so it's not, you know, it's not like the exact answer, like, oh, it looks like, you know, this and this and this. Like, to me, what it looks like is a big gray smoky area, you know, mm-hmm. like kind of almost in the clouds. This is just my visualization. And then like people start materializing out of the clouds and stuff. Wow. And you know, they could be really far away. They could be a lot of people, you know, it all depends, but that's not necessarily what it looks like, you know, on the gotcha. Other side. Yeah, gotcha. We're just energy at that point. We're all just part of the collective energy.
Now, I've got a personal question here.
Yeah.
And I don't want to put you on the spot. I'd be like, can you give me a reading right now? But I had my grandfather on my mom's side. He died a year before I was born. I never met him. Does the person that you speak to, like who's coming in for a session, do you have to already kind of like use them as like an anchor with like their energy or do
yes. Yeah, oh, okay. What a good question. And by the way, I wanted to ask you, are you a Scorpio by any chance?
I'm a Virgo with a lot of Scorpio energy, actually.
With a lot of Scorpio. Okay, because all the sex books and then when, and what's really interesting is, this is just something about Scorpio, I'm a Scorpio. Usually, typically before, and this is going to sound so terrible, but it, you know, I've found it to be more true than not. Someone in the family will pass within a year of a Scorpio being born. Mm-hmm. And my grandfather was, on my mom's side, had died. He died exactly a year from when I was born.
Wow. Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, Scorpios kill people. No.
My son's in the 12th house, no. And I have Pluto in the first house.
Nice.
Yeah, it's very kind of like, it's dark up in here.
I thought you were saying you had a kid, like your son. I'm like, I didn't hear this story.
I know. It's like, you know, when I'm reading people's charts, I'll go like, okay, so you have Cancer, and it's like the sign Cancer in your. Oh. Yeah.
Yes.
You see people's faces like, I have what? And
like, it's like, what?
No, I'm not a doctor. Damn it, Jim! I'm not a doctor. what was your question?
Basically what I'm asking is like, if the person didn't know who their relative was, like, can you still pull that relative or yeah?
Yep. Absolutely. That happens all the time. As a matter of fact, it's almost like sometimes I go through cycles with it, and sometimes that'll be the pattern for a while where I don't know if it's just the clients that are coming to me or if it's just something, the way I'm channeling, but the relatives that they're least likely to have spent a lot of time with will come through first. It's almost like, hey, we want to get our message out of the way now. It'll be short. And then we're going to let your dad come through, or, you know, and so the person, the sitter is definitely taking part in this. You know, I always advise people when we go into session, it's like, you're going to feel things, but other than emotional things, you're going to feel, you know, you might feel those goosebumps, a little, you know, or something brush your hair or something like that, because your spirit people are here for you. They're not here for me. I'm having all these experiences over here, but I'm just the channel, you know? And so you're holding the space for it too. So, so it's important that people aren't like guarded and, you know, like this when they come in, you know, for any reading, you know, but yeah, they will. I've had one of the weirdest things I have happen is
that was my next question.
Oh, was it? Psychic.
That's literally my next question was, what's the most bizarre experience you've had during a reading?
Oh gosh, okay.
Wow.
This wouldn't be the most bizarre thing that happened, but one of the weird things that happens is sometimes if people are doing, or somebody in the family is doing genealogy, mm-hmm. I will get seemingly rando people coming in, like going, hey, I'm your great Aunt Kathy on your mother's fifth sister's side, you know what I mean, like nutso things, and these poor people be like, I don't know this person, I don't know this person. And I'll go, who's doing genealogy? And they're like, oh, me. I'm like, okay, she belongs in the family. Whoever needs to know that thread. And they will always email me back and go, oh my gosh, you were right. They were trying to figure out who this person was, like way back in the family tree. And yeah, so I don't spend a lot of time on those because there's no way to, you know, that's no way to validate them. But probably one of the weirdest things, you know, I don't really, God, it's, you know, it all used to be so weird to me, and now it's just all so normal. that it's really hard to say. I mean, I've had a lot of those moments where, you know, where it's like, wow, you know, somebody's like, well, I can't believe that this was the last person that I ever thought would come through, and come through, and it would be like this powerful healing for them. Let me think about that for a minute and come up with, surprised I don't have one off the top of my head, but like I said, there's just so many, like, you know, this whole thing has just become so regular for me.
Normal.
Yeah.
We had a guest on previously, our friend Fran. He came on to the show and he actually channeled interdimensional beings via tarot. Does that ever happen to you? Do you ever talk to aliens? Do you ever talk to like interdimensionals even?
Yeah, not aliens. Although, like, I spent, you know, I mentioned I lived in Vegas. When I lived there, that was when I became like immersed in the UFO thing. And I've had experiences like up at Area 51 and all kinds of, you know, crazy things happened.
Well, okay, but we might have to talk about that too.
Yeah. Like, oh yeah, there's like stories. But I've only really had a couple of times where I kind of set the intention to like, please just bring either, you know, humans, or if I'm doing pet mediumship, you know, please just be pets. And I kind of put up, you know, a block around that. But I have a couple of times had somebody's something come in and I did not know what it was. And, you know, it was one of those things where I'm looking at it and I'm going, okay, just show me who you are, you know, because I'm always talking to spirit in my head on behalf of my client. And it wouldn't take shape. This person wouldn't take shape, and they kept changing. And then it was kind of like a, you know, like, not to sound corny, but it was what I saw. It was like a white light and the face kept changing. And I'm like, okay. And I went, you just need to give me your message. Where you are.
Yeah.
You're here for her. Let's give her her message. And what came out of my mouth was so freaky. It was just like, I don't even remember what I said, but she, like, it was like 20 years of, you know, pain just came out of this woman's body. And I'm like, okay, that was unexpected. And I'm like, I think I just channeled one of your guides. Like, or it is some being.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful. I wasn't afraid of it. I was just confused because I'm trying to get it to talk to me like a human, you know. It's like not.
Wow.
Yeah. And I've had that happen twice. Not the one catharsis, that was the way she reacted was just so profound, but the other one was more like, wow, I just kind of needed to hear that. You know? I was like, apparently you did, because I don't know what this is. It's come through. So
it's almost like when those beings come through, because I've had some interesting experiences like on my own where, like, you know, I was talking to something that might not have actually, you know, been there, but it was like something bigger, and like my brain couldn't fathom it. It's like, you know, because whatever physical form that they have is like, you know, unfathomable to us, so they can kind of like.
Exactly. You know, it's one of my pet peeves is people coming to me and going, can you tell me who my guides are? I'm like, no, I can't tell you who my guides are. Like, I don't know their names. You know, I've done those heavy meditations where you channel and you connect with your guides, you know, obviously. And I've had that experience. And it was like, there's no human sounding name that goes with your, you know, I'm sure like everybody has their team, and there are always our loved ones on the other side who are our, like, kind of team that are always with us, you know. And so those like intergalactic, like off planet, you know, Lemurian and Pleiadians and all that, they don't operate like we do, and the angelic realm, of course. And, you know, so you're not going to get a name. It's not going to be John, your guide, you know. It's like, so go into that yourself, you know, connect with them yourself, because the experience is profound. But don't expect you're going to come out with a name and phone number you can call anytime you need. You know, it's, it doesn't work that way. So,
yeah,
that's awesome. you know, you spoke about the tarot deck that you had, your first one. Was that the first one that spoke to you, or was there another one that?
No, I hated that deck, but I kept using it. Oh, it was awful. It was so negative. It was so negative. It was one of those playing card decks that had the little sayings on it, you know, and it had, you know, it would say like, oh, when, you know, when the knight is forward, death will be upon you. And you're like, dang, you know. But I kept playing with it because I was kind of fascinated with, like, well, how does this work? You know, like, what is this all about? And it kind of got me started on it. And then eventually I started, you know, I got real tarot deck and started studying that. And then, like I said, the whole time, you know, I always did astrology. And I Ching was really big, like, back in, this is how old I am, like, back in the 70s. And I really loved that, too. I thought that was pretty fun.
Describe the I Ching is a poem, right? It's a big poem, no?
Well, yeah, maybe. It's basically what you do is you throw sticks or pennies or whatever. You know, I used to use pennies. Mm-hmm. And you create these triads, like three lines and three lines. And then each one, they're stories. Each one represents a story or it has a meaning.
Oh, you're talking about like divination sticks, like the...
It's just a form of divination. It's just really cool. It started to make a little comeback a few years ago and then it kind of faded out again.
Yeah.
But it's pretty cool. I haven't used it in years and years. But I'll tell you one of the things, you know, I love to test everything. I love to mm-hmm. test everything. And there was a point in time where I was throwing a lot of the I Ching and I kept asking it the same question. And literally, like the tarot does this too, the answer came up, stop asking the question. And I was like, whoops, just got called out by my pennies.
It's like, okay, I will.
Yeah, won't do that anymore, sorry.
I'm gonna skip forward just a little bit here. So you're a Reiki practitioner. Mm-hmm. I study Reiki myself too, which I find very interesting.
Awesome.
I was doing massage therapy just out of high school, and we had a Reiki practitioner come in and teach us a little workshop on it, basically. And I had some weird stuff happen. I had a sore back that day or something, and the workshopper came up and literally just walked past my table when I was laying on it and said, "Oh my God," and like just went up and cracked my back. And I was like, in like one little foul swoop, and I was like, "Whoa." Because, yeah, I felt that. And I was like, "Whoa, okay." What is like something weird that's happened to you during a Reiki? Do you ever get like images or anything like that?
Oh yeah. Okay. I have an answer to that question from the Reiki perspective. Yeah, a couple of things have happened. So one time I was working on this man, and I've been a Reiki master. I think I got my cert in like 98 or something like that. So I was working on this man, and I kept seeing this truck in a ditch, and there was so much sadness. And I was like, "Oh my gosh, somebody is dead in this truck! Like what?" And there was this big white house up on a hill, and I'm like trying to look in the truck, but I'm trying to be present, you know, because it's, you know, you're just supposed to like kind of stay present with the person. And so at the end of it, he said, "Did you get anything? You know, any messages?" Because he already knew I was a psychic, and I said, "Well, I had this thing." I said, I really hesitate to tell you this. And I told him, and he said, "Thank you." I'm like, "What?" He goes, "I'm writing a book about a guy who commits suicide in a truck." I said, "Did he live in a big white house with columns?" And he's like, "Yeah." And he goes, "I couldn't decide what color to make the truck. You just decided it for me."
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
I'm like, "Cool. Glad to help."
Whoa. <You know? laughs> That's cool.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
What other
things? Energy's awesome. Energy is so fun to play in.
Wow.
It really is.
I want you to help my writer's block now.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, you know, but if you're doing Reiki, like you could, you know.
I'm not good at it. I haven't done it in literally since then. But yeah,
it's okay. It doesn't go away.
Yeah. I've had sessions done. I had a session done to me just not that long ago, like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's not something that I necessarily want to pursue, but it's stuff that I definitely have like you know, on the back burner, or things that have just kind of like, you know, intellectually stimulated me, or, you know, just
the
idea of.
Oh, I would love to work with you guys. You really, like, both of you have got, there's so much potential there. I'm just like, oh, let me at you, you know, because I teach all this stuff. Like, my whole thing, you know, my real mission, I finally figured out what the heck my mission is in life here. And it really is to teach people how to experience their own psychic ability, their own intuitive abilities, because everyone is born with this. Everyone. Now, some people, you know, it's kind of like singing, right? Everybody can sing, but some people will be on American Idol. Some people will just work as singers in bars. Some people will never sing outside the shower. Some people can't sing, but they like to, right? Mm-hmm, yeah. You know, karaoke. So, you know, you've got all this whole spectrum of what you can do with it. But everybody has a voice. I mean, I know a deaf woman who could sing. You know, she taught herself to sing after she went deaf, and so there's we've got everything available to us. And what happens is people say, "Well, I'm not really psychic. I'm not really into it. I can't really trust it." And it's like, no, you can. Everyone comes into this planet with all the clairs in some way, shape, or form. And so, why would you not use it? Because, you know, it doesn't mean you have to go, you know, hang out a shingle and be a psychic. You know, these folks that, like, hey, I read a book on tarot. I'm a tarot reader now. No, you know, it's my worst nightmare. But you know, we can all experience this stuff. And so where you are at any given point in your life, whether you're working in a corporate job or whether you're creative or whatever it is that you're doing, you have the ability to use your own intuitive and psychic talents to help people right where you are. It is not exclusive to mediums and psychics. It isn't. And so, like, I'm, you know, I just really want to open that up to the world, because the world is opening up.
Yeah.
And people are scared. They're having experiences and they're like completely out of sorts, especially down here in the Bible Belt, you know. A lot of fundamental Christians are like, something happened, and, like, I'm going to get excommunicated if I don't, like, figure this out, you know. And it's just, it's normal and natural.
Yeah.
So that's my mission on this, you know, before I die, I want everyone to understand that, you know, they've got this. And so, when, you know, and some people have a little more and some people have a little less, but we all got it. So, yeah.
I want to tap into mine.
That potential, in you guys, I really do.
I definitely do too. I definitely think that I access it at times, or sometimes even, like, without even thinking about it. But I don't know how to, like, harness it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's a learned thing. It's a learned thing. You know, but you know, it's funny because I tell people, it's kind of like, you know, it's a little bit like asking, like, how do I breathe? How do I breathe better? if you don't need oxygen, what you need to do is learn how to keep your head above the water or whatever. You know, there's little things that you might need to think about, you know.
Yeah.
But you know, some people might need more oxygen, whatever. But but yeah, it's as natural as breathing to us. And you know, when you don't all it takes is understanding energy and how it works. And Reiki is wonderful. Reiki's the gateway drug to all this stuff. Yeah. You know, it really is.
Wow. Yeah. What else can Reiki help with?
Well, what it does, it can help with anything. And because what it does is it balances your energy so your body can heal itself naturally.
Oh, wow.
We are out of whack all the time. If you've ever worked on anybody, there's always some chakra that's like, whoo, out here, or way, you know, way shut down. And so balancing all that allows our physical body to heal itself, and our, you know, and our emotional body, of course, is tied into all that. Yeah. And so, you know, when you're in that constant state of balance, it's, you know, it's just better. It's just, you know, the stress is gone. And so, you know, Reiki is wonderful for that. It really is, because it's very gentle. And, you know,
Yeah, I've had several sessions myself, and apart from the one that I did in massage therapy school, I had one from a coworker a few years ago who was practicing, and I had a and then that one just maybe like 2 weeks ago. I wish I had more, truly, because like I found it really like, I mean, if anything, it's just relaxing. You're just laying there. You're not doing anything.
And who doesn't need like an hour laying on a table thinking of nothing, right?
Yeah.
Everybody needs that.
It's very meditative, but you know, it's also interesting. What was interesting was when I had my coworker one, he actually pulled up when like halfway through or something like that, he was really kind of working this area right here. He goes, "Do you smoke?" I'm like, yeah. And I made sure that like, you know, I'm gonna be in close proximity to a person. I'm not gonna smoke before the session. So I didn't smoke that day. He couldn't smell it. So, but it was just like, he just picked up on it. Like, he was just like, I'm working over here right now. I in your chest. And mm-hmm. I definitely feel like you're a smoker. And I was like, yeah, I am.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can feel all kinds of stuff when I'm going over a body. It's, you know, and even remotely, too. I do remote, you know, I can do remote healing, too. I don't do much of it anymore, either, though. I, you know, last year, I have my Reiki table in my car, and I was thinking of selling it because, you know, I have this awesome little office. It's like kind of tucked away in a little office building, and my, you know, all my neighbors know me, and we all get along great. Mm-hmm. And last year on March 13th, I closed the doors and I said, all right, I'll be back after this mess clears up. And it is, what is it, May 22nd? And I'm still like, no, I don't want to go back. So,
yeah, pretty much.
And I've been paying for it the whole time. And now actually I have an acupuncturist. Oh, she does some really cool stuff. She does acupuncture and she also does spirit animal channeling. She's really good. So we're kind of splitting it now, but I'm like, you don't even tell me when you're going in there. I'm not going back. I'll tell you if I'm feeling going back because I love my home office. Yeah. So,
I want to jump to another topic here real quick before we kind of end things up. But, you know, you're a certified life coach, too. Mm-hmm. So what are some things that people are looking for when they come to you for like life coaching? And what how do all your other skills kind of tie into that?
Good question. So mostly because I guess because my title leads with, you know, astrologer, psychic medium, tarot reader, life coach is like at the end. So I don't get people, you know, I don't promote myself that way as like life coach first, you know. But the way it all ties in is, as you know, if you've done readings for people, as you're doing these readings, you're getting this insight and this information. But wow, that's all really nice. But what skills do you have to help people actually get on board with that? You know, giving people information is sometimes enough. They're just, oh yeah, I never thought of that. Thanks, I'm on my way, you know? Mm-hmm. But there's other people that are like, yeah, I would really love to do that, but I don't know how to move forward. And the life coaching is like, that's when those questions pop in and it's like, you know, what would your life look like if you could, you know? And I just start rolling into it and it's like, it's so powerful. You know, life coaching is like the right questions asked at the right moment, you know, to help people unlock their own fears and blocks. And so yeah, when I got this, you know, I really thought it was going to be the other way where I would, it's complicated, but I found out was I really didn't know what the heck I was doing when I got the life coach thing and I tried to tie it into everything. I was a mess. Mm-hmm. And you know, I was still, fortunately, I didn't hurt anybody. I still helped people, but I was trying to make it separate and boxy and choppy and, you know, all this. And now I just continue my life coach training and, you know, and all of that. I mean, I'm a perpetual student anyways. I've still learned things in astrology. I'm constantly learning new things. I go to all the conventions. I do the, you know, I do everything 1,000%. I'm Scorpio, you know.
So wow.
Nothing left behind.
What's your astro drama class?
That's pretty cool. That is, you actually stand in a circle in the wheel. I have like a thing that I put on the floor that's like the astrological wheel. And people will play the roles of your planets in the signs they're in.
Wow. And
you're directing it a certain way. And you know, there's a number of different ways to do it. I've seen, you know, like if you look on YouTube and find it, you'll find a lot of like kind of almost comedy versions of it, which, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it can be really fun. I mean, I've done it for like beginner classes where I made people dress up like the planets and do a fashion show and things.
Nice.
You know, but what it does is it teaches it, you know, when you're actually physically embodying the planet or the sign or, you know, whatever, it just really solidifies what is going on. You know, you can read all day, but when you are actually doing something like that live, it's a completely different experience. People that I had doing that years ago still remember. Oh, I remember when I played the sun in Gemini, and you know, and they can recite it like they've been doing astrology for, you know, forever.
Yeah.
You know what that means. And so, yeah, but you get into all of the aspects and everything, and, you know, specific things, like if, you know, if the person who's like in the center wants to work on relationships, well, you know, you position people in the seventh house and the fifth house and the, you know, and so there's a whole myriad of ways to make it happen, but it's basically embodying the planets. It's a living.
I think that's very interesting, because it's like theater, but it's drama class, but it's like also, I feel like, you know, I was the type of person when I was growing up in school that like when I couldn't just like read a book and like learn something that way. I had to like physically do it. And in order to like kind of like, you know, the muscle, there's something about like the muscle reconnection, or even just like, you know, the intellectual socio stimulation that comes with that, that really kind of like enhances the learning.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why Tony Robbins has you get up and clap after he says something, you know. It's like,
yeah.
I, the first time I saw him, I was like, this guy's an idiot, like what is he, you know, I'm not doing this. And then I was like, oh, I see what he's doing.
Yeah,
it's getting in the energy.
Mm-hmm.
You can have stuff coming at your face all day long, going in your head, rolling around in there, but when you take a physical action, you know, that's why when you're manifesting, write, handwrite your manifestations. Don't put them on your computer. Don't type them in your phone. Write them. That's an energy action that's going to give it more oomph.
Wow.
Yeah.
Speaking of manifesting, this is our last question. Unfortunately, I could talk about this all day, but we ask all of our guests this: what have you manifested lately?
Oh, bunch of crap. literally have. I have been, what I have been manifesting is I guess putting myself out there. It's not a specific thing. Maybe that's why I'm getting crap. But I'm actually pushing through the fear of being seen by people that don't know me.
And you should be seen, though.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm a big personality, and I love being on camera, and I love talking. Obviously, you know all that about me now, but only in my control, you know. So even coming on the show, it's like, you know, that was a big step. So that's what I'm manifesting, like getting over the fear of being seen. You know, as a trauma survivor, it's like you're, you know, you're like, look at me, don't look at me, look at me, don't look at me, right?
Yes.
So. Being real, like that's where I'm at. That's what I'm manifesting. So I have manifested some real crap this week. I manifested two things that I never want to have to see again. I'm like, but it was what it was saying, like, this is, look at this. This is what you feel is going to happen when you're seen. Here's some junk, you know? And I'm like, oh God, stop, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, it hasn't been a fun week, but you guys just really made it a lot of fun.
Aw, well, thank you. So yeah, you did too.
Yeah, where can our listeners follow you, or your website and all this stuff? All this stuff's going to be in our show notes, obviously, but...
Yep. It's astrogirl12.com. Don't forget the 12. It's 12 signs, 12 houses, right? Yep. So astrogirl12.com, and then, like, everything is on there, all my socials and everything. You know, Facebook, it's Astrogirl Susie, and then I have a big, long... Astrogirl12 is part of the one on Instagram. It's also Music City Medium, so... it's like astrogirl12.musiccitymedia. I know. I'm playing around with a lot of different names right now. But that's, so follow me. I have free horoscopes, weekly horoscopes I send out. You can subscribe to them on my website.
I will do that.
Me too.
We were just talking about that.
Yeah,
earlier.
Me too. Yeah.
Cool. I appreciate you guys so much. This has really, really been fun. Thank you.
Yeah,
I totally want to see you guys again. I want to like work with you guys. Like, you guys need to trust this stuff you got going on. It's a lot of magic in you guys. Really
thank
good.
You.
Thank you so much. And really appreciate
you're definitely going to make me explore that because I keep saying that I want to explore that psychic feeling part of myself. I've always said it, and I think I've lost a lot of it since being a kid. And so you're going to, this is my confirmation that I need to, you know, get more into that. So thank you for that.
Yeah. Get on it. Yeah. Awesome. We are all psychic, right?
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Susie. Again, it's been lovely to have you. You're welcome back anytime.
Yes. Thank you so much, Susie. Yeah.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
We'll see you next time.
Bye. See you next. Bye-bye.
Ooch, my gooch. I have to issue an apology. I'm sorry.
We sorry.
We messed up on the sound quality, and apparently we were using not the microphones. We were accidentally using
not the mama.
The microphone from my laptop, which is not that great quality.
That's boo-boo.
So, yeah, sorry about that.
We are sorry.
This is a homebrew channel. We do things ourselves, and sometimes shit goes sideways real fast.
Brew, brew.
But we do have a quote.
We do. We have a quote. Something that's quotable. It is better to fail while striving for something wonderful, challenging, adventurous, and uncertain than to say, I don't want to try because I just may not succeed completely. Jimmy Carter.
Jimmy Carter.
Jimmy Carter. It's strangely enough, I'm going to age myself here. Guess who was president when I was born?
Jimmy Carter.
Jimmy Carter. He was for the first 2 years of my life.
Aw.
Yeah.
Well, as always,
the Peanut Man.
We do a gratitude list at the end of every episode. So we list three things that we are grateful for each week. I guess I'll start.
Oh, good. Because I know I'm not allowed to say you or the show anymore.
We're not allowed to say ourselves or the show because I'm sure people are vomiting every time we do that. As always, it just goes without saying, I'm thankful for you and this show. But I will say, now I got to think. So I'm grateful for taking that little trip with my mom. It was much needed. Got some sun, hung out by the pool, and got to hang out with my mom for a little bit. So that was cool. I'm thankful for the time I had with Noogie, because he's no longer at my house now. Aww. Every time I walk in the door, I feel like there's something missing now. So I'm like,
wasn't there a puppy here somewhere?
Wasn't there a puppy here at one point? There was, no longer. And I'm thankful for my vacation that starts tomorrow. I'll be in Seattle for a week.
Seattle.
I'll be in Seattle hanging out with my friends and visiting some old stomping grounds I used to do when I used to live there.
Friends. That means it's my turn now. I am grateful that, in this week I had people really show up for me, which I'm really, really glad and grateful about. I'm grateful that while we were recording this thing, I found out that someone who had one of my songs is done putting the works on it, so I'll get to hear one of my songs sometime tonight with the drums
and mastered and all that.
It's weird because I was like, we mastered while we went, so I'm like, oh whoa. So
oh, okay, quick.
So I'm like, I don't know whether I'm gonna have to get it mastered by somebody else on top of this, but we will see. And what else am I grateful for? I am grateful that I still have my place because, you know, it's been a crazy rough year. Mm-hmm. But I remember times in my life where I didn't have a place to stay, and I have, like, an awesome place where I can be in my living room or my bedroom or my balcony or my kitchen or my bathroom.
I love your place. It's very nice. It's quaint.
Thank you. It is quaint.
I mean, it's more than quaint. You say it's small. It is not small. This is actually quite large.
Maybe if I got rid of... I mean, you know what? I definitely want to expand, though. But yeah. I need to be grateful for this place here. This place here, brother.
This place here.
This place.
This is my house.
It's nothing, brother. It's nothing. This place here. Okay, sorry. I don't even know. Do you know where this is from?
No.
Okay, never mind. It's a Cat Williams reference.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've seen Cat Williams a couple times.
Excuse me. I had to change some of the words around.
Yeah. Anyways, you can always follow the show on social media. We are at A Cosmic Journey Pod on Instagram and A Cosmic Journey Pod at Twitter. That's because we couldn't afford the two EY.
Couldn't afford it, bro. Who are you on all those?
Oh, yeah. Who am I? I am at Dimitri Wild on Instagram and Twitter and TikTok.
And I am, on all three of those, I am J Maceo Music, J dot Maceo Music on Instagram and on Twitter. I don't know why they couldn't do the dot, but J _ Maceo Music.
Yeah, gotta have the dot though on the Instagram.
Yes, gotta have the, because it's J. It's the, you know,
J period.
P-Rod, period.
If you have memes, if you want to suggest articles to the show, or if you just want to interact with us directly, feel free to join our Facebook group, and it's Starseed Central.
Yeah, if you want to flirt, whatever.
If you want to send us your number, just get in my DMs.
Right, slide up in them.
Slide up in them.
Slide up in shit.
Also on YouTube, be sure you check out Cosmic News, our interview videos, and Jay's Cosmic Insights.
Cosmic Nudes. Oh, Cosmic News. Yes.
Nudes.
Yes, you should do that.
Send Cosmic Nudes.
Yes, and rate, share, subscribe. We have a giveaway, don't we?
We're still doing that, yeah. So if you leave a comment a good comment and a 5-star rating on Apple Podcast and screenshot it, send it to me, send it to the DMs or the Instagram, or the podcast Instagram, send us your information. We'll send you a gift.
Yes, a gift.
Yeah.
Not a gif or a gif, but a gift.
A gift.
Yeah.
From us to you.
To you.
So I think that's everything. So thanks for listening. And as always, Godspeed, Starseeds.